Woody in the morning.
It's a new day on 94.9
WSJM.
It's the best way to get your day started.
8:12 on the Moody of the Morning Show, Tuesday, October 31st, 2017. Happy Halloween, everybody. What's on your mind? It's time for Thrive Psychology and What's on Your Mind. And in the house with us this morning, Mitzi Kaling. Good morning, Mitzi.
Good morning. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Well, are you ready to go trick-or-treating?
Absolutely. I'm ready now.
We'll be back. We're going to go get some. Today, what's on your mind?
Well, I thought today, since it's trick-or-treating, we'd talk about some mind tricks.
Oh, well, mind tricks. All right. Very good.
Anybody can use them. So we're going to use them against fears and phobias. So I've got a couple things. I'll talk about fears and phobias, but at the end, I have a list of the top 100 fears and phobias, which some of them are kind of hilarious. So we'll read some of those at the end. So we're going to focus today, because most of our clients actually come to therapy because of fear, because they're afraid of something.
Sure.
That might not be the core issue, but it's fear of something.
So, doctor, what are fears and how would you define them?
Fear is a vital response to physical and emotional danger.
Okay.
So if we think of the cavemen, I know that's not super politically correct, but, you know, they were cavemen and women. And if there was a wild animal, right, hiding in the bushes, and they're walking along and they hear a noise, if they didn't have a fear response to the noise, they would die, get eaten, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have that today, even though there's not wild animals in the bushes. So often we fear situations, we have that response for things that are not life-threatening. And those are okay, except sometimes they get a little bit out of control. And so we want to focus not on the thing, because it's not a rational fear, but really on the actual fear of the thing.
Okay, so is the goal to get rid of fear?
Not totally. Fear is a good thing. Fear keeps us safe from harm. It keeps us on our toes. When a wild animal is running toward us at full speed, the fear will tell us to get out of the way and find a safe place so we don't get eaten.
Run!
And it's interesting because there's a lot of physical effects that come when the fear response gets kicked off. So your heart starts beating really fast. Your breathing rate increases. We feel really energized. Something interesting that happens is all of blood in our brain goes to what's called the old brain, or our emotion center.
Okay.
So it actually shuts down our logic center. So we can't think well. This is why test anxiety is such a pain.
Yeah.
Because people are sitting there scared and nervous, and they genuinely cannot pull up the right information to take the test.
Just almost freeze.
Exactly. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And so a lot of that's about freezing. Absolutely.
Okay. So that makes sense. But what about people who have a fear of the dark, or fear of leaving home, or since we're talking Halloween, you know, a lot of people are afraid of clowns. So what's that about?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. So as I said, fear is a good thing because it helps us survive. But when it gets out of control, it can affect our functioning.
Okay.
Sort of like the test anxiety.
Okay.
For example, so I'll use your question about the fear of clowns to illustrate what I mean.
Okay.
We know clowns aren't an actual danger. I mean, there was that stuff about clowns running around in fields and stuff, but they really never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So there's an article by Zidbits. It's published in 2011, suggests a concept called the uncanny valley effect.
Okay.
And that contributes to the fear of clowns, or it's also called coulrophobia. So if you want to impress your friends, use that at your party.
Coulrophobia.
So if you think about clowns, there's so much makeup and exaggerated features, so we can't tell what they're feeling. So think about the mask with the big smile on the face. You know, are they happy with you? Are they going to kill you? You have no idea.
Very true.
The other thing is, you know, when you think about comedy acts with clowns, it's a lot of physical comedy. So somebody always gets hurt.
Yeah.
So that tends to be kind of unsettling.
Very true. It's very slapstick, yeah.
Exactly. So in a general sense, we tend to fear what we can't predict.
All right. So what should we do if we have an irrational fear? And, you know, when does it become unmanageable enough that they need to find you?
Well, when any kind of fear, for whatever it's for, when it interrupts your work, your job, when it interrupts family or relationships, or even just your general sense of well-being, it's time to address it.
Okay.
Often we believe that the fear is irrational, but we continue to feel very afraid. So it doesn't make sense. That's why it's called.
You tell yourself it's all right, you know, but it's not all right.
Exactly. And so why does that not work?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about that in a second. So I've worked with a number of clients in the area of fear, and a combination of treatments we find works really well. There's a program that we use called Go Zen, and it combines teaching a client how to manage their fearful thoughts as well as the emotion that the thought creates. So there's thought and emotion tied in, which is really great.
Okay.
So it works like this. So what they say is, do not believe everything you think. That is the mind trick.
That's a good advice.
Do not trust everything you think. So if you think about it, studies show they suggest, I can't imagine anybody can really measure this, but we take in 11 million bits of information at a time. So that can be anything from a sense to a sight to a thought. The conscious mind, though, can only handle about 7 at a time.
It's a pretty huge gap there, from 11 million down to 7.
Exactly. It is. It's shocking. So what this really means for us is that we create our own reality by choosing what to focus on.
Okay.
So what we see a lot of, and everybody has this, but when it gets out of control, we see it, what are called cognitive distortions or mistakes in thinking.
Okay.
And so what we can do is we can associate related experiences to unrelated situations. For instance, if I'm frightened by a dog when I'm small, I'm walking past a fence and the dog jumps up out of nowhere and really scares me. I'm really short if I'm little, and the dog, even though maybe small, is really big to me. I mistakenly assign danger to all dogs for life when that's not accurate.
Right.
Because we don't lay in bed as children trying to make our thoughts accurate.
Right.
So we tend to stick.
Perhaps we should, but.
Well, we absolutely should. And we do work with a lot of kids on this. So the key is not to make all our thoughts positive.
Okay.
The key is to make them accurate. So I'm going to give you a couple steps to do this. The first thing we can do is, if you're having a fear or phobia that is really getting to you, that's really interrupting your daily life, get a journal and start to log all of your unhelpful thoughts. So an unhelpful thought is anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know you have an unhelpful thought like, my arm really hurts, I think it's broken, I mean, that you can act on that. That's fine.
Call the doctor.
Exactly. Call the doctor. But we have a sense when our fears are irrational.
Right.
The second thing is, after you look at those, we examine them for distortions. And distortions or mistakes, there's about 8 different ones. One is called blanketing. So that's the dog example. If you're afraid of one dog one time.
You're afraid of all dogs all the time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Another one can be keyholing, for instance, where we only see the negative in a situation and we fail to see the positive.
Okay.
So, and the third thing is to really practice. We got to practice this. When we are really scared, when we're having a panic attack, when we're afraid of something, we tend to ask, why me? So instead of asking why me, we want to ask what is happening. And when that's happening, what we can say is, well, my heart's beating really fast. I feel really scared. My palms are sweating. That's what's happening. So it's the fear of the fear.
Okay.
Not necessarily the dog.
So if you focus on that, it takes less, it takes away from what you're think you're afraid of.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And it brings us back to that accurate answer. So what we want to then say to ourselves is, acknowledge I'm uncomfortable, but I'm not in danger. I'm safe.
Okay.
So when we realize that, then we can think, then the blood starts going back to, you know, the frontal lobe, and we can start reasoning again, organizing, thinking calmly.
Being more rational.
Yes, that is always the goal.
All right, very good. Well, since it is Halloween, you brought a pretty cool list of all the things that we're afraid of. What's number one?
Number one, the most common is arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, which affects women 4 times more than men.
Yeah. I'm not exactly fond of them. I don't know why I'm fearful of them. I probably respond pretty much the same way as a woman does when I see one. It's just like, whoa, you know.
Right. But you probably don't have nightmares about it afterwards.
No, not that I can recall.
Right. Some people do. There's some interesting ones. Obviously, the fear of public speaking or the fear of being alone. We also have number 16, most common, is the fear of chickens.
Fear of chickens.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Now, the actual chickens, you know, like live chickens, or that doesn't include a chicken sandwich? Or...
Oh, I don't know. Right. It might. The fast food chains may have to invest in that.
Yeah, really. And then, of course, there's triskaidekaphobia, which is fear of the number 13 or Friday the 13th.
Yes. And people really fear it and have a hard time, like, leading up to it.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, there's obviously the fear of commitment, the fear of blood, the fear of fear. You got the fear of number 13. Okay. I know we have to wrap up, so I just wanted to, let's look at the least common really quick.
Okay.
The fear of zombies.
Okay.
But a lot of people pretend
that's
to be
probably
afraid.
Well, yeah, they pretend to be, but it's really, come on, you know, like it's going to happen, you know, the zombie apocalypse, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly, exactly. And then the least common is taphophobia, or the fear of being buried alive.
Ah, yeah.
There's a terrible thought for your Halloween.
Well, that was one of the most terrifying movies I ever saw. It was Edgar Allan Poe actually wrote about that, called The Premature Burial.
Yes.
And they made it into a movie, and I saw it as a kid, and it was terrifying.
Oh, my gosh. See?
But it was a classic story.
It stuck with you.
It did. Well, how can folks get a hold of you, Mitzi, if they'd like to resolve some of their fears that they may have, real or imagined?
Well, they can go to our website at thrivepsychgroup.com, and our phone number contact information is on there. If you have questions about anything, if it's fear or phobia, you're welcome to email us through the site or our Facebook page at Thrive Psychology.
Excellent. Always a delight, my friend.
It's so nice to see
you. We always want to know what's on your mind. And by the way, don't forget, if you have things that are on your mind and you'd like for Mitzi to take a look at them in the future here on the show, just send it to her at
thrivepsychgroup.com.
There you go. Yeah. And you'll be able to maybe have it addressed right here. You don't have to identify yourself or anything. You can just share what your concerns are, and we'll address it here on the show. And even if you do identify who you are to them, they're not going to tell that to the world.
That's true. It's all confidential.
It's all confidential. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mitzi.
You.